off for a walk to the corner store. I just finished my a recording a minute ago, but I guess it didn't save, so I'm starting a new one now. I was just talking about the get together yesterday with everyone. You know, I saw Peter and Danny and I saw a lot of the guys, Suguru and his wife. How nice that was. Very sweet energy, very cute. Very nice. Let's see. Before it slips away, I wanted to bring up something I think is interesting. I was thinking about how human beings are not. We're in a way any living being, but I think of human beings as spherical in terms of growth. And I say that because while of course there's the physical dimension of being that grows in a somewhat predictable manner, you know, length and width and all that stuff, there's also the internal dimension that I will express as, you know, spiritual and the spirit. And I think that this dimension, there are examples of people. Sadhguruji met with someone when he was riding his bike, some guru, I think, who wrote letters to people, and there are monks who have vows of silence, but I think for the most part, the vast, vast majority, 95, maybe even more, but have a need or are very much based in sound, communication, being understood, presence, and I think that this is how we grow. You know, it's not just linear and it's not just cyclical. But we grow through some of the nuances. We grow through. Some of the symbols within our speech, within our being. I have so many things to say. Really, I could go on and on and on. But I was thinking about my own challenges. I was going over the last recording, just the direction that I see my life going. School, GW, finishing the degree. $50,000 is the average starting salary for an economics major in DC. That sounds pretty good. I think I'll be able to pay back my debts, do what I got to do there. Still continue with my religious reconciliation stuff. And I have a good situation with Lynn. And I love the family. I miss... It's so great being home. It feels wonderful. Life is definitely mysterious, definitely interesting. Thinking about the things that change and the things that stay the same. I do see some of the seasonal affects, if you will, of... Or perhaps still cyclical, as I'm reading the philosophy of Islam by Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm just looking at the three different stages. There's the animal, there's the human, there's the spirit. And I'm thinking that regardless of the experience, what I felt was a transcendental emergence with the oneness, with, you know, reality in my meditation, it seems that there is still so much to face in my life, my challenges, such as the compulsiveness of sex, not just sex, but the identity of sex in a way. And it's been a process for me to, number one, face it, to see that, as I was talking with Ernest yesterday about Sifu Adam Meisner and Daiji Juan, or Wu Wei, I think it's, but anyway, it's Daiji Juan. You abandon force at all costs. And this makes sense to me. At the same time, as I was talking with Mom yesterday, Mahatma Gandhi talked about how, you know, passive or non-violent resistance, and when he was questioned about that, he said it would have worked against Hitler, though there would have been huge sacrifices. Because at a certain point, there's the question of, you know, when is force necessary? Marshall K. Rosenberg talks about the protective use of force, that at times it's necessary to step in, it's necessary to stand up, or, you know, be that surface of protection, if you will, or, you know, and that's the thing, right? We all kind of know that on some degree. We all think about self-defense, right? Like, you know, everyone's got to survive, everyone's got to protect themselves, but that's kind of the rationale for anybody. Paul K. Chappelle, the director of the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation, he talks about that too, that how, you know, any war is propagandized or presented as self-defense. Even Hitler claimed self-defense. You know, that there was some kind of shadow government, there was an elite group that was after the people, and, you know, in order to be safe, that the Aryan race, you know, was gonna this and that, you know, because they were pure in their, you know, being and all that stuff. Anyway, or that's what, you know, that's what was said. Anyway, so continuing on, I'm also just kind of going around connecting all the dots in my memories and life and thoughts. Yeah, but just getting back to it, like, I see how some of the same old patterns emerge in my family. Makes me laugh at times, but also, it's interesting. I don't know, so many feelings, because it's sweet, but it's also, there's a sadness to it, too. You know, we all have to grow, we all have to expand, but who can I count before myself to be that one, to be the responsible, to say, oh, it's, you know, if anything's going, you know, if something is happening that needs to change or whatever, it's got to come from within me first, definitely. And that brings me to Eckhart Tolle, you know, because I was going to talk about Eckhart Tolle and the growth, the spherical growth of being human. But Eckhart Tolle, the power of now, presence, absolute presence, What was I gonna say about it? I guess it's like we all have. I talked with some guy at the LA Fitness, young guy, older guy. Talked with a couple people, but randomly, I just decided to talk to this younger lad. Saw him wearing a cross, and I asked him. You know, because I've been hearing the expression that everyone's going through a battle that we know nothing about. So be kind all the time. No matter what, right? And so I just asked him, I was like, you know, I threw that expression out there and said, hey, you know, are you going through something? And he, thank God, he said he was good. Made me feel a little bit, I was like, oh, wow, that's great. He was young, so, I mean, I guess sometimes in life that's how it is, right? When you're young, you have this blessed time of blissfulness in a way. You know, again, you can gain it for sure. You can attain it through meditation and all that, but I think naturally in life, when you're young, perhaps without relationships, without the, you know, going through broken hearts and all that, there's something that, you know, you just kind of feel everything is right with the world, and it was nice to hear it from. I mean, I'm always happy. It always makes me happy to see that someone's in that state, someone's there. Because it's just nice, it's good. I'm happy to see when people have that contentness. Anyway, but yeah, I'm just continuing to freestyle here, spitball. going on and on, developing my skills. I'm still going to do my comedy. Got to talk with Shinho more about what I'm doing. Hideyuki, hopefully. Patrick, too. So let's see, you know, kind of get loose, right? Kind of get out of myself, laugh at myself. Right, the great Kevin Hart, laugh at my pain, that's his thing, and I can relate. Let's see, so here I am walking down the street once again, walking over to the 7, not the 7, I'm not in Virginia, I'm in Miami, but we're walking over to the Raceway. But let's see, some things stay the same, some things change. Relationships change. I think there's this innocent dream that one day you find the love of your life and it always stays the same. You know, but as we see in history, that's just not always the case for everyone. And I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say because I do feel that it's worth believing in. I think that true love, that first love, is worth believing in. I think it's worth I think it's worth risking your heart, honestly. I thinking about things in my life recently with Vera. She sent me an email this morning, just basically forwarding what Mom sent to her yesterday. And I don't know, I at different times I've felt similarities. I think after the relationship with Vera, as well as, you know, Devi Dasi, so to speak. And yeah, it was interesting to think about that. Kind of reminded me, in a way, I guess, of the mentality that I've seen in my family, in Dad, when he calls me Matthias or Matthias Samuel or I don't know, even Noah Momo or something like that. But I wonder, you know, am I just filling roles in my life? Am I just, you know... Because as I reflect on the relationship, I mean, I've already gone through it, talked about it so much, but I don't know. I guess I'm seeing how either, you know, I need to be hurt, not necessarily need to be hurt, but it's almost like it has to be over or has to be, I have to know, I have to believe that, you know, it's like it's only like I can appreciate it after, with 2020 sight. I know that's not the case, and again, I link this back to my own challenge with compulsiveness, because I think that, I mean, again, it wasn't something that I went through different phases in my life where, you know, it wasn't as big a challenge or whatever, it wasn't such a big thing, but nonetheless, it was, I don't think I've ever, but that to me brings up the question, is it, you know, I don't know, it's like, I mean, because, you know, I think about Buddha, right? Buddha is, in a lot of ways, someone I see as an example, not only as someone as I see it as an example, but, you know, someone who's directly helped me, someone who's directly given me grounding. You know, it was the middle way that I practiced in my meditation that I had the transcendental experience. mindful awareness. I can feel the implications of so many of the thoughts and feelings that I have about things. But, you know, so going back to Buddha, I think, like... what was I saying about Buddha? That'll come back to me, but as I talk about it again, I think of the example of the spherical growth how, you know, in a way it's like, and I'm going to see if I can illustrate what I'm trying to say here. It's that, you know, in order to know ourselves, we kind of have to know, of course we have to look within ourselves. I think that goes without saying. But in some sense, it's like, you know, ourself, again, in Buddhist or Hindu terminology, a lot of times in Buddhism, there's no self. It's you know, enlightenment, reality, the truth is non-self. There is no permanent identity. No matter who you think you are today, it's going to be different tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. In Hinduism, there's a similar sense, but there's the self, there's the Atman, and there's the Brahman, or Brahma, the ultimate self, the oneness, you know, God. And so, this is how I think of the spherical growth. You see, it's like, because even the Buddha, right, even Eckhart Tolle, in sharing what he's discovered and sharing what he's learned, you know, he must emit sound. He must have something like a feedback, a reflection to give, for there to be relationship between the Buddha and an audience. Because after all, right, if there is a ultimate realization, if there is a peak of perception or a peak of being, what's the use if you don't share it, right? I mean, so that's the interesting thing. And so when I say spherical again, I say like, right, a child cries and then there's some response from the outside, because, you know, that's just how it goes. In order to survive, the child cries, and then, you know, there's a response. There's a loop there. There's a connection that creates that growth, right? From that cry, from that utterance, something is learned. A neuron makes a connection and realizes that, you know, oh, this is how I live. This is how I get my sustenance, and so forth and so forth. And even as we grow through adolescence, it's similar, you know. Maybe if it's with dating, right? Maybe if it's with romance and relationships, it's like you do different things, you risk things, you know, and sometimes it works, God willing. Sometimes it makes the connection, you know, you fall in love, or maybe not fall in love, maybe you rise in love, and, you know, you find each other, you find yourself through the other. You discover your own insecurities, you discover your strengths, and one day you decide, oh, this is the perfect place. And I want to give grace to others, and I want to give grace to my own child too. And through that, again, it starts over in a way. But going back to adolescence, and then, you know, maturity, adulthood, and I would say in a lot of ways, parenthood is that state. It's where the divine principle comes in, as I see it. Because the Buddha is kind of the parent, you know, to spiritual children. This is how the metaphysics of it for me, the metaphor, in that, you know, because I think about parenthood not only as physical creation, but as awakening, right, or bringing out the compassion, bringing out the love, bringing out the best. That's what Ernest said yesterday. He was telling me about it, and it just resonated with me. And when I say it resonated with me, I always think of Young One, because that was something that he said that just stayed with me. So anyway, yeah, whenever I say that it resonates with me, it's something that I remember Young One on. But getting back to it, so Buddha, being a true parent, right, being an ultimate parent, in a way, or as I see it, because I don't think that, as much as I do think that it's worthy to have, you know, I think in each own's path, in each one's own journey and discovering of, in each one's own discovery of, what can I say, themselves, ultimate reality, I think, again, there's something inside of us that says that we got to pass this on. We got to give this away. We have to, you know, leave our mark, create that legacy. Again, all different ways, all different languages to say the same thing. But I don't think that, you know, as much as being a physical parent, I think is a wonderful experience. I don't know, because I have not been that. But I don't think that, you know, one who does not have physical children is not going to be able to live the optimal life. I think that it does. I mean, but then again, I don't know. I haven't had children yet, so I can't say, I can't compare. But then everyone's different too. So some people don't even have the ability to have physical children. Stephanie, that very kind lady I met, and Tom got to meet for a moment. It was interesting. She had shared with me about that for herself. Anyway, I'll probably never see her again. But so getting back to it, yeah, children, the spherical growth, and that's the thing, you know, because it's like watering a flower, I see it as, because, you know, it's like you water the flower, you nourish your children, you nurture your children, you teach them, you create sound to give them something to, you know, help them in some way, help them go through, you know, not have to go through something you did, or, you know, become a little wiser, or save a little bit more money, or so forth and so forth. And you know, and that happens, and but that's the thing, you don't always see the effect right away. You don't always see you don't always see the transformation. But that's another thing Buddha, right? He said, to love is not to pluck a flower, but rather to water it and watch it grow. I hope that somehow my poem about Yoshika can be read, because I feel really I love that poem. I'm glad that Yoshika. I'm so thankful that Yoshika inspired me to write it. I've wanted to do so much more for my family. I still think about it. I'm trying to finish writing my letters. I've been writing to Dad. Nihongo de mada benkyou shiteru manichi demo nan toyu mada muzukashii dakara tabun eigo de atode. So, but you know, I'm still learning. Coming up here now on 57th Ave. Get across the street before. Approaching the raceway now here. Yeah, let me see. I think I'm going to call it at this moment. Just gather my thoughts a little bit more. Do what I got to do at the corner store. And then I'll return to this. So I'll get back to it in just a few. Ahora compré un pescado, disculpe, eso es un meo portugués lenguaje, pero ahora don't know what to talk about, demo, a veces pensado in different languages. So that's cool. That's good. Alhamdulillah. Gracias a Dios. But yeah, continuing on. Let me see what time it is here. Got a 11. I don't think that's the right time here. 12:30. Continuing on. Walking back to the house. Jipro. Kais. Kanango. Dakara, you know, let me continue talking. Kotoba. So let's see here. But getting back to it, what I was gonna say is that there's a kind of finite quality to life. There's a finiteness to life. All that we dream, all that we think, all that we aspire to, there is a dimension, there is a degree of finiteness. There's an aspect of ability. Of course, intention is important, but you know, there was a quote I saw the other day that skills are not as important as something. It was Wisdom to Inspire on Twitter. But let's see. Anyway, I'll recall that and hopefully track it, put it down later, but record it later. But let's see, getting back to it, you know, in a sense that, like, for the past several years since the meditation and my experience, I felt quite clear that world peace is possible. And even within one lifetime, within this generation, it seems to me that leadership within America, the leadership in politics, would be able to generate a wellspring of, would be able to generate a fountain of compassion, a kind of universal transformation. But again, this is what I'm talking about. It's still kind of, you know, we're all on different journeys, so, and we all speak different languages, even if it's the same verbal, even if it's the same spoken word, there are still different back, there are still many, many qualities of learning that are involved, spiritual dimensions, of course, as well as differences in perspectives and all these things, so, being able to make those kinds of transformations, making those kinds of revelations, those discoveries, perhaps may not be what was, well anyway, what I'm thinking now may not be as simple as it seemed. Nonetheless, on the track that I'm on now, I still tread this path because it's worth it. Earl Nightingale asked what is success, and he said that it's a worthy pursuit. It's the genuine effort for a worthy pursuit, and that could be, you know, developing a craft. Whoop. That could be developing a craft, perfecting one's craft. But it could also be more than that. But success is not determined by external understanding, perhaps, reception, but rather, again, just that you know what you're doing is worthy, is worth it. You know that that you're giving your sincere energy, that you're doing your best you can to achieve what you feel is important, is what is necessary, is edifying or gratifying. Edifying is a word that Grace Castro imparted to me, editor of the Metropolis at Miami-Dade. So let's see, but getting on with it. Yeah, because again, I mean, after all, one thing that I've discovered since this past blessing that I was in, the parents' blessing between my parents and spouse's parents. I see that, again, it's not as much about what needs to happen outside of myself as much as what needs to happen within myself. And that's, again, where I bring it back to the compulsiveness of my own story. Sadhguruji talks about overcoming compulsiveness, making everything conscious. It's so interesting, though. There are surface-level paradoxes, though, you know. I mean, Sadhguruji once was asked if what his... was his greatest accomplishment, what his greatest achievement was. And he said, my achievement? I'm a big failure. Because I know that within my lifetime, I will not achieve what I aspire to. And in other talks, other times, he talks about his vision for humanity. And it's all-encompassing in that it's not a... It's not a desire per se. It's not a, you know, wish. But he has a vision for the whole, the universe, I guess. But it's a paradox, you know, because why aspire to something that you will not achieve? To me, it seems for the symbolic purposes that that even though what inside of yourself feels like. Inside of yourself what feels like needs to happen or how things need to change. It's just about going through that process within, achieving what, again, you need to do within yourself, even if it's not attainable. So this is how I see it, and it makes sense to me. We gotta always be learning, always evolving, growing, even if that means we're taking steps back, going back to our hometowns, going back to places that seem to start us off at the beginning. But like my grandma always said, it's never too late to start at the start. So yeah, all these things that I'm thinking and sharing now, I pray it's beneficial. I hope it can be good and elevating, give prosperity. Reading T. Harv Eker has been good. Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. A lot of good tips there. I'm going to be continuing to... reading more on that, understanding that, and yes, there are some things, principles important, again, but I'm realizing just in my own experience and, you know, different things that have happened with me, you know, the relationships, the, what you might call, you know, codependency, I don't know if that's it, but it could be. Anyway. Yep. Still growing, still learning every day to my last breath. It's important to remember, though, that there is pain. There's a quote that goes around on the internet that says that, is attributed to Buddha, pain is inevitable, suffering is an option. The way I've always learned what the middle way, what Buddha said, is that the first noble truth is life is suffering. And that it stems from desire, letting go of desire, let's go of suffering. The noble eightfold path finds freedom. Let's see, continuing on though. But going back to the topic of spherical growth or like stages, Buddha talked about, you know, I don't know at what point during his teaching, but he talked about some of the five Buddhas before him and three Buddhas, I guess, before him and the one to come after, Maitreya. And as he's, the name has been given, many have accepted that title. Hazrat Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Asalam has, Osho, several others. But man, fascinating. Life is fascinating, I'll say that. Nonetheless, we still live in a world that there is pain, and there's suffering, and that's why I'm thinking again, just trying to come full circle on this. It seems that, you know, I mean, to a degree, we can only end our own suffering and then do all we can to end it for others to the best of our ability where we're at, what we can. Yeah. In Houston Smith's book, World Religions, there's a point where he talks about how Buddha did elaborate that there are paranormal, paranormal, supernatural. There are supernatural abilities or, you know, qualities for in life. Sadhguruji, again, also once talked that, you know, an enlightenment or, you know, in a realized yogis can communicate cross distance, you know, over, you know, beyond just telephones, beyond just technological, but through, you know, through pure consciousness. So it's interesting to me, because again, anyway, nonetheless, I think that similar to Christ, Yeshua, Jesus, with miracles and stuff like that, I think that it's not the point is not those powers really, but again, it's the devotion, it's the loyalty, it's the it's the principle of our path, of what we're doing, that, you know, anyway, these things can be found. But nonetheless I now think again, I'm thinking just how, to me, it seems so interesting how a lot of times when we're talking, though, we're talking to ourselves, you know, whatever it is, even in answering other people, it's like, well, we'll respond from where we're at, and that makes communication challenging and very interesting, because you know, like, what I think there's a important lesson about, you know, every single moment, every single interaction, relationship has something to teach us, has something to give us to learn from. What can I say? That's why, again, I kind of go to this point where I think that, you know, basically it's all about what's within ourselves, what's within, you know, what do I have to learn? The question is always, what do I have to learn? Not what somebody else has to do, or, you know, abandon force at all costs, Sifu Adam Meisner. No matter how much it seems that, you know, someone else is perpetrating something or whatever, you gotta look within your heart, gotta look within yourself and figure out, is this my battle? Is this for me? Is this about me, or is this about somebody else? That's the way it seems to me. I think I know I've been making progress. I know I've changed a lot. I know I've developed and gotten to new places in my life, and thankful to God, thankful to my family, thankful to mentors and support, help me get here. Buddha talked about the three Buddhas before him, dependent origination, you know, and that Buddhas are realized not, even though the Arahat, you know, the expression is that perfectly self-enlightened and all that, you know, we're not autonomous beings. We don't come into existence of our own volition, but rather through the foundations of others before us and, you know, so forth. So yeah, man, I've gotten to the point now where I'm thinking I'm tiring myself out a little bit by talking. Actually, that was maybe 10 minutes ago, but I don't know, I'm just trying to get it all out. I feel like this is a good exercise for a good exercise for journaling, for one, you know. I'm thinking to podcast this, you know, put it up. Hopefully I'll enjoy again. But here we go. There's the spherical quality again, where it's like, you know, going over our options. We don't always know the right, the one move, the right, you know, the what to do, but just keep moving, you know, just keep, do the best you can, and be at peace, for that's part of the plan. Every challenge is a lesson, every hardship is something to give us peace, to make us stronger. And yeah, so this is the second point here, in the second day of 2019, that I say I am done with today's log. So I think I'm going to call it that for now. It came to me right after I logged off, but it's really important to me also, because I've been really digging deep on this point that all human beings, we're all made equal, and that the divine spark is within every living being. And, you know, so no matter what we think is right, or, you know, even thinking about identity or whatnot, you know, it's important to understand again that whoever it is that you're interacting with, or whoever it is that you're, you know, it's involved in your life, is a reflection of yourself. So kindness, as well as patience, understanding, because, you know, you reap what you sow, and, so bliss, so devotion, so calm.